This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris. I am a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. My show, The Conservative Circus, can be heard 550 KFYI in Phoenix, 790 KNST in my adopted hometown of Tucson, or you could catch it on the free iHeartRadio app. If you want to follow me on any of my socials, I encourage you to go to jamestharris.com. It's all there. Plus the Clarity Report, where we kind of take a look at what's happening in America, look at our society and filter it through a biblical perspective. Nothing like it out there. The big story today is the Supreme Court stepping in and basically taking President Trump and his America First agenda global to the woodshed. Yeah. Proving that the biggest enemy that this country has is not in Beijing. No, it's not in Cuba. It's not in Venezuela. It's not in Iraq. It's right here in our own country. Democrats and the Republicans that fondle them. Can I say fondle? I can. Yes. It's just very, very frustrating. We can't get on the same page. We can't march together, especially when we get behind an agenda that's good for America. That's because of the elites. It threatens the power of the elites. We're going to get back into some of the things that President Trump said today in the wake of the Supreme Court shooting down his tariffs, the way he uses tariffs. But let me just say, who's celebrating today? Well, the elite and their minions. President Trump is that bull in the China shop. Nobody would have had the cojones to come in and do what he did at the beginning of this term. He turned the world upside down. He raided the coffers of the left. All the money that they had hidden in different organizations, different institutions, Doge got a hold of it, exposed it. Some things got shut down. But in time, the elite among us, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, they just grind and grind and grind. They don't stop. And I'm telling you, I got a problem with a few members of the Supreme Court, because no matter what happens, they'll find a way to stall it, slow it down. I got a whole problem with the whole judicial system right now in the first place. We got judges, you know, from Podunk, you know, Seville jumping in and putting stays and shutting down President Trump's agenda. And it's not to defeat him. It's just to slow it down, to slow the roll until they can get President Trump out of office. President Trump was very, very disgusted with the Supreme Court. He called some of them out. He called the justices fools. He called them lapdogs. You know what? I'm here for it. I'm here from all of this, because that's exactly what we're watching. We're watching a bunch of lapdogs.
Others think they're being politically correct, which has happened before far too often with certain members of this court. And it's happened so often with this court. What a shame. Having to do with voting in particular. When in fact, they're just being fools and lapdogs for the rhinos and the radical left Democrats. Mm-hmm. And not that this should have anything at all to do with it. They're very unpatriotic and disloyal to our Constitution. It's my opinion that the court has been swayed by foreign interests and a political movement that is far smaller than people would ever think. It's a small movement. I won by millions of votes. We won in a landslide. With all the cheating that went on, there was a lot of it, but we still won in a landslide. Too big to rig. But these people are obnoxious, ignorant, and loud. They're very loud. And I think certain justices are afraid of that. They don't want to do the right thing. They're afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with the president 100%. Oh, James, the court is not political. Shut your mouth. Stop it. Yes, it is political. They're human beings. And you know what? The left is ruthless. You heard what the Chuck E. Cheese Schumer was saying. Gorsuch, you will reap the whirlwind. Remember that? Remember how the left, wait a minute. The left attacked the Supreme Court, was camping outside their houses with all of this chanting and moaning and cowbells and craziness. Wait, remember that dude that tried to kidnap Kavanaugh? He's going to hog tie him and torture him? That's the left. You'd be afraid too. Amy Coney Barrett got kids. You don't think she's concerned about this? But that shouldn't keep them from doing their job. James, you are not a constitutional expert. Okay, I may not be a constitutional expert, but I can see the hypocrisy, in Roberts' rulings when it comes to Obamacare and when it comes to this, the tariffs. One, he's being all lackadaisical. Oh, we're going to find a way to make Obamacare work. And then this one, we're just going to shut it down. And these tariffs were not used just for taxes. That's what John Roberts wants to portend, but that's not what happened. President Trump weighed in on that, too.
I have very effectively utilized tariffs over the past year to make America great again. Our stock market has just recently broken 50,000 on the Dow, and simultaneously, and even more amazingly, broken 7,000 on the S&P, two numbers that everybody thought upon our landslide election victory could not be attained. Think of that. Nobody thought it was possible to do it within 4 years, and we did it in 1 year. They said, you'll never be able. You'll go back and you read the geniuses, read their statements. All of the Nobel Prize winners in economics, they said, no, you couldn't do it in 4 years. Well, we didn't do it in 4 years. We did it in 1 year. We broke every record in the book, and we're continuing to do so. Tariffs have likewise been used to end 5 of the 8 wars that I settled. I settled 8 wars, whether you like it or not. Including India, Pakistan, big ones, nuclear, could have been nuclear. Prime Minister of Pakistan said yesterday at the great meeting that we had, the Peace Board, he said yesterday that President Trump could have saved 35 million lives by getting us to stop fighting. They were getting ready to do some bad things. But they've given us great national security, these tariffs have, and together with our strong borders, reduced fentanyl coming into our country by 30%. When I use them as a penalty against countries illegally sending this poison into our country, poison our youth. All of those tariffs remain. They all remain. I don't know if you know that or not. They all remain. We're still getting them. And we will after the decision. I guess there's nobody left to appeal to. But again, those three people, such respect. I've had a lot of respect for them.
It's incredible. Have you heard the nightly news talk about how President Trump has used the tariffs to leverage to stop wars? Has that been celebrated? Has that been touted? Uh-uh. Most of you I know, you probably don't watch the nightly news. I'm forced to watch it daily. David Muir. I got a friend who knows David Muir. He's going to try to get me a signed autograph picture for my mom. This is for my mom. I have nothing. No love. None. These people lie. These people are propagandists. And then when it's overwhelming good things that happen, they won't report on it. President Trump used tariffs to stop wars. Wait a minute. We got world leaders praising him, saying that things would have been much worse. There would have been much more loss of life if he had not intervened. I didn't know you could use tariffs for leverage, even though the president's been talking about this. Donald Trump has been talking about this for 30, 40 years. No credit whatsoever. This is what's frustrating. No credit whatsoever. No, he can't. See, now he can't do this. This is great. Yeah, what's going to happen when we start to see prices going back up? That's Trump's fault. It's Trump's economy. See, they break it. Trump comes along and fixes it. Then they stop him from fixing it. And then it starts to get broken again. And then they blame Trump. And then they blame Trump. President Trump said, you know what? Hey, I'm not done yet. I'm not going to give into this. I'm not going to give into this craziness. I am going to impose another tariff.
In order to protect our country, a president can actually charge more tariffs than I was charging in the past period of a year under the various tariffs authorities. So we can use other of the statutes, other of the tariff authorities.
Do it.
Which have also been confirmed and are fully allowed. Therefore, effective immediately, all national security tariffs under Section 232 and existing Section 301 tariffs, they're existing, they're there, remain in place, fully in place, and in full force and effect. Today, I will sign an order to impose a 10% global tariff under Section 122, over and above our normal tariffs already being charged.
I'm trying to tell you, Trump ain't no punk. Trump ain't no punk. He's maybe deterred. This is just a roadblock, but he's going to find a way around it. For those of you who are concerned about the midterm, stop it. We're concerned about the Republic. Coming up next, I have a conversation with Congressman Swikert of Arizona about how Trump and Republicans will move forward. James C. Harris sitting in for Jesse Kelly.
Jesse Kelly.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris, a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. You can hear my show 550 KFYI in Phoenix, 790 KNST in Tucson, of course, on the free iHeartRadio app. Follow me at jamestharris.com. That's where all my shows are, my social media. And you can also get the Clarity Report. Sign up for that free newsletter. Earlier on my show, The Conservative Circus, right after we got the ruling from the Supreme Court, I had an opportunity to talk to Congressman David Swikert. He is a numbers man, and he broke down what this means and how we move forward. I want to play that for you right now. We have the Supreme Court weighing in that the president has overstepped his bounds when it comes to tariffs. In the center ring, we have Congressman David Swikert. And Congressman, the Supreme Court said tariffs as taxes are Congress's responsibility. So let me ask you directly, are you and your Republican brothers and sisters, are you ready to vote for tariffs to protect America's history, or are we just going to let this whole thing fall apart?
Hopefully not going to let this whole thing fall apart, but it's also time to actually get a tariff regime that actually works. You know, remember, one of the things we've had is because it bounces up and down, and different countries have been coming in getting certain agreements. Remember, much of the world screws us using what's called a value-added tax. Mm-hmm. They charge us this 18.5% tax is the average when we send them something, but when they export to us, they refund it. It's called a tax arbitrage. And the crazy thing is, on the March 4th, we're actually doing a whole hearing on my economic committee to actually try to move forward the legislation to fix this. And that would be sort of the universal tariff to make it permanent and fix it forever.
Okay, that's good. Does this ruling empower Congress? I guess I'll just answer my own question. I was going to ask you, does this empower Congress to protect American industry, to really get behind the America First policy? Does this give us an opportunity to push back against the globalists?
James, actually, in some ways, you may not even be cynical enough. I think actually this says, Congress, you need to get off your backside and start stepping up and do your work. And the president still has other authorities. If when we catch a country cheating like China does all the time or doing bad acts, there are other authorities the president can use. Just this sort of global use of this authority from, I think it was from 1977 or 74, saying it's defined as a tax by the Supreme Court, and that means those of us on the House Ways and Means Committee, we need to do our job. And look, you and I have actually talked about this, how frustrated I am with the people I work with, where they want to go on Fox and television or your show and talk about how tough they are, but they never want to take a tough vote. Now we have to step up and do our job.
I mean, we really get a chance to see who is who right now because of this Supreme Court decision. Go ahead.
No. And it's actually, look, we've been working on this one since President Trump got sworn in, working with the White House, saying, look, if the courts go south of it on us, we need a replacement. But we need a replacement that actually truly punishes the countries that stick it to us using their tax code and make it stable. You need a process where business in the United States will invest and grow instead of constantly worrying about, is this going to change? And we think we have a solution to make it so we maximize economic growth, industrial production in the United States, and stop other countries from cheating us.
Congressman Swikert, we heard a news little flash here that Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh, I do believe, said that it could be a real mess paying back all these tariffs that President has collected through these tariffs of billions of dollars. And we heard a lot from our audience saying, you know what, over our dead body, do we get back any of this money? How is this going to fall out?
Well, the Supreme Court says it's a tax. Congress needed to authorize this. But the Supreme Court, because look, it's like 70 some pages. We've been at it. We do this thing when we get something like this. We break it up amongst a handful of us. I have far too many lawyers that work for me. And they're going through it. The ruling does not specify how to do refunds, if the refunds are actually owed. There may be a way here that if we could actually move quickly to an alternative methodology, we could use this as a credit system so we're not writing checks out of the Treasury. Or there may be some occasions where some businesses, if the courts come back again, we're going to have to find out some way to make them whole. But I'm actually going to try to do my best to see if we can work out this credit system and then use it against future liabilities.
Congressman David Swikert, I want to thank you very much for being available to us on such short notice. And we will be talking to you again once your lawyers figure all of this out.
Hey, I really appreciate it. I know this is sort of a geeky subject, but now you're in my wheelhouse.
But that's why we called you, because you're a geek. We know you're a geek with numbers, Swikert. We always knew that.
All right. I think the world of you. Thanks, James.
Congressman David Swikert. Coming up next, the Obama administration, some of their members are reforming and they've drawn a hard line saying that some of you folks out there have crossed the Rubicon and it's coming. James C. Harris sitting in for the Jesse Kelly Show.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James C. Harris. I am a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. He is playing Luther. 550 KFYI, 790 KNC, the free iHeartRadio app. The great Luther Vandross. May he rest in peace. Even though he won a Grammy last year. Did you catch the Grammys? I know you probably didn't watch the Grammys. Chris, that is Jesse Kelly's producer. Did you watch the Grammys? You know, this chair gave the Grammy to Luther Vandross. Yeah. See, it was supposed to go to Kendrick Lamar, whose song Luther won the Grammy, but she wasn't reading the right teleprompter, and she just said Luther Vandross, and I got so excited because Luther been dead about 20, 25 years, and he still won a Grammy. My friends, I want you to listen to something, you know, very carefully, very carefully. We've got the former Obama National Security Advisor, Susan Rice. Susan Rice, you've got some of these Obama people are popping back up, but I'm wondering what's going on. A report came out just yesterday. I think this is the information that's supposed to be going into the Obama Library in Chicago, that abomination. That the socialist Marxist big block right on the edge of the park there by the lake in the hood. Sorry. It turns out that on the night, 2016, that Hillary Clinton lost the election, that Barack Obama, one of his aides, and Jesse Jackson all started crying. They started crying. Valerie Jarrett, that's what it was. Valerie Jarrett, Barack Obama, and the late Jesse Jackson were crying. Why does that make me happy? What are we gonna do? Oh, man, they did a good job. Crossfire Hurricane. They tripped up the president in 45, the first year's administration. You had Obama colluding with Hillary. You had James Comey up in there, James Brennan all up in there, trying to hamstring the president. Did a good job, too. Impeached him a couple of times. They're still at it. They can't stop. They won't stop. Why? Because they have to get Orange Man Bad. Orange Man Bad, now he's in control of the government. He's got the goods on them. Susan Rice is back, and she said it out loud. She didn't leak email. She didn't do this behind closed doors. She didn't do this on a podcast. Because what she described was not policy. It was punishment. Susan Rice is going to punish you. She sat down with the former federal prosecutor, Preet Bharara, and delivered what can only be described as a warning shot to corporate America, a warning shot to universities, media companies, law firms that have chosen to work with or even simply accommodate the current Trump administration. This is scary stuff. What were Susan Rice's words? It's not going to end well for them. Ooh. She said, we're not going to debate you. We're not going to outvote you. We're not even going to regulate you. No. It's not going to end well for you if you took a knee for Trump. Ooh. Ooh. See, this is what I'm saying. You can't compromise with these people. These people are evil. These are minions of the devil. They're not trying to hide it anymore. This is Obama's former national security advisor is threatening you if you support or work with Trump.
When it comes to the elites, you know, the corporate interests, the law firms, the universities, the media, I agree with you, Preet. It's not going to end well for them, for those that decided that it was, you know, that they would act in their perceived very narrow self-interest, which I would underscore is very short-term self-interest, and, you know, take a knee to Trump. I think they're now starting to realize, wait a minute, you know, this is not popular. Trump is not popular. What he is doing, whether on the economy and affordability or on immigration now, is not popular, and that there is likely to be a swing in the other direction, and they are going to be caught with more than their pants down.
Ooh.
They're going to be held accountable.
Ooh.
By those who come in opposition to Trump and win at the ballot box.
Wow. They're going to be held accountable. That's what she's saying. They're going to be held accountable. Do you ever hear Republicans talk like this? I got to hand it to Susan Rice. I mean, she's got some balls. She's a woman, but that was ballsy. Okay? We are coming for you. And people wonder how come President Trump, you know, can't get quality people in some of these positions. Because they want to work. You're a law firm that works with Trump. You're never going to get any cases. Nobody's going to come to you. They're going to blackball you. That was the problem the first time he was in office. It was 45. He brought in some outsiders now, but still, the bench is not very big. And here she is telling you, warning you, if you work with Trump, if you try to advance his agenda, you are going to get got.
Now, in the name of transparency.
And that's not a, that was Whoopi Goldberg. That was not Susan Rice. Where is Susan Rice?
And I can there tell you, Preet, you know, as I talk to leaders in Washington, leaders in our party, leaders mm-hmm. in the states, if these corporations think that the Democrats, when they come back in power, are going to, you know, play by the old rules and say, oh, never mind, we'll forgive you for all the people
forgive
you fired,
you.
All the policies and principles you've violated, all, you know, the laws you've skirted. I think they've got another thing coming because, just like when Trump thought, OK, I'll redistrict and the Democrats won't have the guts to play hardball. They're going to be surprised. Democrats have had a belly full and we're not going to play by, the old set of rules when these guys are playing by a very different set of rules.
What old set of rules?
By the law.
Woman, you are crazy. You ain't playing by the law. You didn't play by the law when you drug President Trump through courts with all of these just trumped up charges. What's the matter with you? We're going to play by the law. You weren't playing by the law when you raided President Trump's house, Mar-a-Lago, and went through the first lady's panty drawer. What are you talking about? If you work with Trump, we're coming for you. If you work for Trump, if you're a law firm, if you're a university that work with Trump, you are going to get got.
But we're not going to violate the law the way they do. But we're not going to be suckers. And so I think, you know, whether you're a law firm, whether you're a university, whether you're a media entity, whether you're a big corporation,
listen
whether
to
you're
this.
Big tech, you need to play a long game, not this short game that has been so detrimental.
Wow. They ain't playing. This is Obama's girl. They're not playing. They're telling you what they're going to do. This is a threat. If you work with the president, we are coming for you. This is about who you choose to work with. You know, when the government starts telling private institutions that their past political associations may determine whether they get investigated in the future, is that accountability? Or is that ideological retribution dressed up in the language of justice? This is a war. You all better understand that. This is a war. James C. Harris, sitting in for the Jesse Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
You are listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. My name is James T. Harris, sitting in for Jesse Kelly. I am a talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona. My show, The Conservative Circus, can be heard Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. on 550 KFYI. That's our mothership. And 790 KNST down in Tucson. That's my adoptive hometown, the biggest conservative talk show in all of Arizona. Thank you. Thank you. Susan Rice. She ain't playing. I mean, she put it out there nice and clear. She was not being subtle. That's what Chris just told me. That Chris is Jesse Kelly's producer. She's telling folks they better lawyer up. She said that companies that are aligned with Trump-era policies, whether on hiring, compliance, ESG rollbacks, regulatory cooperation, she said that y'all should be preparing. You're going to get scrutinized. She said this is going to be an accountability jihad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're done pretending politics stops at the water's edge of your balance sheet. Because this wasn't about fraud. This was not about corruption. This wasn't about criminal conduct. This is about who you choose to work with. This is what they're saying. Come on, y'all. Come on. This is who you choose to work with. You want to understand why there's headwinds against President Trump's agenda. In order to get things done, you're going to have to work with folks. Nobody wants to be associated with Trump. They won't do it. Look at the Democrats. Who's the only Democrat that's on the side of common sense and willing to cross lines if it's good for America? Who? Hey, Chris, that is Jesse Kelly's producer. You got it. When you want to guess, who? He said it's always Obama. No! The current Democrat that's willing to cross the line to help, you know, if it's helpful, is Fetterman. Fetterman should just go ahead and choose, you know, switch parties. Remember Kyrsten Sinema? and Joe Manchin, they held the line, not giving the Democrats, the filibuster. What happened to them? Where are they now? Where are they now? Is that a song? Where are they? It's about who you choose to work with. You know, here's my question to the good people listening. When the government starts telling private institutions, questioning you about your past political associations, that sounds kind of draconian to me. 1984. The Epstein report. Epstein files. Boy, who's that prince over there in the UK? Is that Andrew? Andrew got his house raided. Did you see that picture of Andrew when he's in the back of the police car? This is a whole new world for Andrew. A whole new world. He was freaked out in the backseat of that squad car, looking crazy. Prince Andrew. They're saying that Prince Andrew's going to get God. He's not going to get God, people. He's not going to get God. You know, you got the king who's weighed in. King Charles is weighed in. You know, this is a serious business. They have put distance between themselves, and Andrew. The royal family is like, we ain't no. But the question is, will Prince Andrew, will the people who were involved in pedophilia, will the people who were involved in sex trafficking, will these people be tried? Will these people see the inside of a jail cell? No, I don't think so. What we're looking at here is the elites going ahead and allowing for everything to be exposed. What if Epstein wasn't a scandal, but was a system stress test? And what if the system actually passes tests? We spent years asking the wrong question about Jeffrey Epstein. We keep asking, where's the list? As if the real danger is what we don't know. But what if the real danger is what we do know and how little it has changed? There were victims, right? Young girls with names, faces, sworn testimony. There were flights, private jets logged and tracked, moving people in and out of the same circle of wealth and influence. There were properties from Manhattan townhomes to private islands in the Caribbean. There were witnesses, staff, pilots, employees, survivors, all telling versions of the same story. There were settlements, civil payouts quietly negotiated behind closed doors. And there was even a conviction. A court of law looked at the evidence and said, yep, this happened. And after that, the powerful institutions of our society kept moving, didn't they? Deals still got done. They were made. Doors stayed open. Invitations kept going out. That's not a system that failed, my friends. That's a system that absorbed the impact. Because sometimes wrongdoing isn't overlooked due to incompetence. It's quietly managed because confronting it would shake the very people and structures that hold influence. Now, here's the part nobody wants to say out loud. Epstein didn't expose some hidden underworld. He didn't. He revealed the horizon line of accountability, the exact point where justice stops and influence begins. He showed us how far harm can travel before the system finally decides, okay, now we have to act. And that horizon line is a lot further out than any of us were led to believe. See, exposure doesn't necessarily threaten power. To power, exposure is the name of the hurricane scandal. It floods the news cycle, knocks out the lights for a few days, rips the shingles off a few reputations, and then it moves offshore. The damage gets assessed, the insurance gets paid, and few statements are issued, and life at the top goes right back to normal. Now, doesn't it? Doesn't it? So, when people ask, why won't they just release everything? What they're really asking is, please tell me this is still a normal scandal with a normal ending, but maybe this wasn't a scandal. Maybe this was a system demonstration. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. The Epstein scandals, because there is a silver lining. James T. Harris sitting in for the Jesse Kelly Show.